This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Thank you, Jesus. If that clap is for Jesus, make it bigger, make it louder. And I can hear somebody with a shout of joy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this very glorious morning. The first hour of visitation at Shiloh 2023. We know that you are already visiting us. And we give you all the glory and praise for it, Lord. As your word comes to us as individuals, let each person encounter a visitation. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Please get seated and keep clapping for the Lord, everybody, to the glory and praise of his name. Help me assure your neighbor this morning, God will visit you. I count it a very great privilege again this morning, granted to God, I mean from God and from my spiritual father and our prophet and our teacher. I pray that the existing unction on this altar is going to work wonders in somebody's life this morning. Thank you very much, sir. We are reminded this morning that our theme for Shiloh 2023 is redeemed to flourish in hard times. Hard times has already commenced. And there is no prayer anybody can pray against it because it is prophetic. You cannot pray against prophecy. But you can take a position as it applies to the fulfillment of the prophecy in your life. For instance, Isaiah chapter 60 said in verse 2, darkness will cover the heart and it will grow to gross darkness. But that's a language, a word of exemption. But the Lord shall arise upon you. I'm glad somebody is saying amen. And the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. There is a clear demarcation. Darkness on one side, glory on the other side. So don't worry about the darkness. Look forward to the glory. What did God say will happen to you? Say it again, everybody. When you see darkness, what do you expect? On this note, our teaching this morning is captioned, Stewardship Secures Exemption from Hard Times or in Hard Times. Stewardship secures exemption in hard times. Addiction to serving God is our security in hard times. The harder it is, the more committed you should be. Our text is Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, and of course, flowing to chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then they that fear the Lord. Now, in scriptures, fear sometimes is replaced by serve. Then they that serve the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that serve the Lord and that thought upon his name. Verse 17. And as a result of their service, they shall be mine. So serving God commits God to you. You become God's property and responsibility when you serve him. In that day when I make up my jewels, you become precious jewels before the Lord. And I will spare them. I will separate them. I will exempt them. Serving God is key to your exemption. As man spareth his own son that serveth him. There are sons that are not serving and there are sons that are serving. When you become a child of God, you become entitled to inheritance. But when you serve God, you become entitled to rewards. There are two different things. Inheritances are promises. Rewards are covenant. Promises may change, but covenant cannot change. Many children of God are claiming promises. Claiming promises. And to some extent, God answers promises. But he is committed to rewards. He cannot change covenant, so nobody can alter your rewards. You pray for promises, but you walk in the covenant. He will spare his own sons that serve him. Then shall he return and discern the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and he that serveth him. So the demarcation line is stewardship. What separates us, what distinguishes us, is our commitment to serving God. And then it went further to tell us how hard the times will be in chapter 4 verse 1. For behold, the day cometh, and the day has started, that shall burn as an oven. It's already burning. And all the proud, yea, all them that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up. That means nobody can escape it. Saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But look at the good news for you. Verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. Amen. He shall arise for you. When they are sick, he will arise for you with healing in his wings. And for you, you shall go forth. Where will you go? You will go back. You will grow forth and grow up as the calves of the stall. They will be going down, you'll be going up. They'll be going back, you'll be going forward. They will be begging, you'll be giving. They will be borrowing, you'll be lending. They will be selling their houses, you'll be buying them. They will be serving, you'll be employing them. That's what God said about you in the covenant, and it shall not fail. So the subject we're looking at this morning is about how to render services unto God and towards his kingdom. I had God's servant said yesterday, you don't pray your way out of hard times, you learn your way out of it. You learn your way out. Because there's always a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, there will always be a way out. God's people were troubled in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 from verses 1 to 3. Because there were no teaching priests. Until the teaching priest, the teachers of the world emerge, the suffering continues. There is always a way out. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know is what Satan is using against you. Once knowledge is secured, hardship is terminated. As they go through this season of hard times, you will be riding on high. Amen. If that prayer is for someone, say loud, amen. Amen. From scriptures, we discovered that all non-servants of God in scriptures, enjoyed exemption in hard times. We'll quickly look at examples, because examples helps us to understand, to comprehend, and to line up with our expectation. We have come to Shiloh, which is not a magical center, but a learning center. Don't come to Shiloh with the mind, oh, they will pray for me there and things will happen. Come with the mind of to learn. Jesus said, come and learn of me, and you will find rest to your soul. Come and learn of me. Learning is key to taking our place at the top. What you learn today becomes an asset to you tomorrow for your triumph. And I believe that as you receive this lesson this morning, God is going to change your position. Look at Daniel, for instance. In Daniel chapter 6, from verses 20 to 22, he was exempted from destruction because of his commitment to service. And when the king came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Somebody say with me, servant of the living God. Servant of the living God. He was known to be a servant of the living God. Who do they know you to be? Servant of the living God. Is thy God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? We cannot change God's ability, but we can activate his ability. As we render our services to God, we are activating his ability to work in our favor. And Daniel said, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they may not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. For everyone serving God truly, in hard times, God will shut the mouth of lions. They will be consuming others, but they will refuse to touch you. When Daniel entered the den, the lions came and smelled him and discovered that he was a servant, and they are not permitted to touch servants. The hardship of this time will not touch you. The hardship of this season will not touch you. Remember, he said, 1,000 shall fall by your side and 10,000 by your right side, but they shall not come near you. Poverty will not come near you. Famine will not come near you. Begging will not come near you. What do you say about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. They were not consumed by fire. And he commanded. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants. Servants are usually delivered, always delivered. Servants cannot be given as free because God needs their service. That trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Say with me, I will not serve any other God. One more time, I will not serve any other God. You know, some people funnily say, only God knows those who serve him. It's not true. If you are serving God, you will know. If you are truly serving God, you will know. This young boy said, the God whom we serve, in verse 17, Daniel chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 17, Daniel 3, 17, our God whom we serve. They were too sure they were serving him. How can you be serving God and you will not know? If you don't know, perhaps you are truly not serving him. And what more? If you are truly serving God, God will bear you witness. Hear what God said concerning Job to the devil. Chapter 1 verse 8. He says, Satan, have you come across my servant Job, that there is none like him in the heart, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? God is always proud of those who serve him. Have you seen my servant Job? What is God saying about you? Does he know you as one serving him? If you are truly serving God, even men will testify. The king said, is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver you? So there are three levels of witnesses you have when you are serving God: your personal witness, the witness of God, and the witness of men, including unbelievers. Perhaps if they are not mocking you yet for serving God, you are yet to be serving him. And in the process of their mocking you, God will be making you. May you receive grace to serve him more. I say, may you receive grace to serve him more. Look at two other examples quickly before we move on how to really engage in this service. The story of Ezekiah is another indication of a man who served God and was exempted from untimely death. These are the hard things that will be happening to men around our world today. In Ezekiel chapter 38 verses 1 to 5, the prophet Isaiah came and said, Ezekiah, your time is up. You will die. And Ezekiel said, what do you mean? He said, you will not live. You will die. You will not live. And Ezekiel turned his face to God and said, Lord, I must be exempted from this trouble. And on what account? He said, remember now, O God, how I have walked before thee in truth and the perfect, and I have done that which is good in thy sight. I am your servant. I cannot die anyhow. And God said, Isaiah, we have to review the program. I know your words don't fall to the ground, but this time around, we have to review it. Go back and tell him that he will not die. I will add 15 more years to him. Serving God brings addition to your life. Serving God does not reduce people, it adds to people. For your service to the Lord, which you are rendering day or night, while others are dying, you will be alive. While others are in trouble, you'll be the one to be rescuing them. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Again, you look at the story of Job. Even the devil testified of God's covering around him. Job chapter 1 verse 9. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job serve you for nothing? And verse 10, hast thou not made an edge about him? So there is a provision of an edge for those who serve him. And about his house, and about all that he had on every side, thou hast blessed the works of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. You know, Satan is a liar, but that day he told the truth. When God blesses you overwhelmingly, even your enemies will be testifying of it. That's what God will do for you in these hard times. I said, that's what God will do for you in these hard times. That's what your God, whom you serve, will do for you in these hard times. Addiction to serving God is security to our lives in this hard time. I declare by the power of God at work on this altar, you will not suffer what they suffer. I say, you will not suffer what they suffer. For you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. He will take sickness away from you. Those who serve God don't pray against sickness, because God said, I will take it away. I will take it away. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That means from you, your family, immediate and extended. for serving him. And it went further in verse 26 down to 27. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days, leave it to me. I will fulfill it. And what more? I will send my fear before thee. And I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all your enemies to turn their back unto you. Verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hivite before thee. When you serve God, he takes over everything on your behalf. Comprehensively, he doesn't allow you to weep when others are weeping. He doesn't allow you to beg when they are begging. Those who serve God don't beg God. They just enjoy God's covering on every side. Everybody, please lift up your hand. I decree that from today, what evil befalls them will jump over your house. In the name of Jesus. Another loud amen, everybody. But we must come to a point of understanding that it is not enough to serve God, but to serve him acceptably. To serve him acceptably. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. God is not a anyhow God. Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. And grace comes via knowledge. That is to say, let us learn how to do it, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Acceptable service is what guarantees our exemption in hard times. Number one, how do you serve him acceptably? You must serve him lovingly. Lovingly. Our services are accepted when it is built on our love for God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, chapter 11, verse 13. Repeating almost the same thing. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways. And look at this. And to love him and to serve him. To love him and to serve him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 shows to us, or from verse 1 to 3, shows to us that you can be serving God without loving him. Serving God without loving him will soon get you weary. But loving him to serve him will keep you on all your life. Lovingly. Without love, our service has no value. Psalm 91 verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me to serve me, therefore will I deliver him. When others are going down, I will set him on high because he has known my name. So what God is looking for in you first is your love. Your love. Before he appointed Peter to serve, he said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? John 21 verses 15 to 17. Do you love me? Why is it so? Love for God brings you into relationship with God. And relationship is what gives value to our services. There are people who are serving God, but God does not know them. Does he know you? Are you in relationship with him? Are you walking with him in love? That's the only way your walk can have value. What gives value to your work for God is your walk with him. Hear what Ezekiah said in the passage we read earlier. He said, I have walked before you in truth, in sincere heart, and I have done some work in your house. I have walked before you, and I have walked for you. Love for God is what gives value to our services in His kingdom. And you know something about love? Love cannot be stopped. What shall separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? There are people who, when they don't see material reward, they withdraw from serving God. But Paul said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. When you are serving God with love, you develop a spiritual umbilical cord which cannot be destroyed. Love for God. Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verses 6 and 7. It's a love. It's as strong as death. Number 2. How do you serve God acceptably? We must serve Him willingly. Willingly. Love for Him will make you look away from whether reward comes or not, even though reward is certain. Willingness will make you ever eager and ready. Ever eager and ready. There are believers, you have to prop them to serve God. But willingness makes you self-motivated. You are willing, you are ready, you are eager. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient. You can be obedient and not be willing. That is the only one way to guarantee that you will eat of the good of the land. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 12. If there be forced a willing mind. When you are doing anything, the first thing God looks at is not your activeness, but your willingness. If there be forced a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that which a man had and not according to that which he had not. If I do these things willingly, there is a reward for me, but if not, I've lost the reward. And part of the reward is your exemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 17. Number 3, we must serve Him dutifully or faithfully. Dutifully. That is, we must serve Him with a sense of commitment to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Matthew chapter 24 verses 45 to 47. And blessed is that servant whom when his Lord shall come shall find him dutifully. Stewardship demands that you are on duty, committedly, doing what you are sent to do. Luke 19:13, occupy till I come. Staying on duty until the master comes. Because it is at your point of duty that he brings his reward to you. Once you are off duty, you are off his covering. You are off his provision. You are off his exemption. Say with me, I will stay on duty. Say it again, I will stay on duty. Next, we must serve him cheerfully, delightsomely. Malachi chapter 3 verse 14, there are those who complain. Oh, can you see? God is not even remembering us. He have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mourning before the Lord of hosts? Serving God mournfully baptizes you in mourning. Cheerfulness. It's what gives you a place of exemption in this hard time. Serving him to a point that people are wondering whether you are part of them in this world or not. Waking up in the morning cheerfully. Serving in the various service unit you are engaging cheerfully. Giving cheerfully. Winning souls cheerfully. Ever smiling. Ever excited. That's what God is looking for. For God loves a cheerful servant. He loves a cheerful servant. Don't you see that even in the physical, your frowning of face keeps people away from you. As a matter of fact, when you are coming, they dodge you because they don't know your intention, which will be expressed by your expression. Your cheerfulness is the expression of your intention to serve God. Your expression. God is looking out for a cheerful servant. There are pastors who don't smile when they are on the altar. Face frown. To the extent that members will start discussing with themselves. It's like pastor has a problem, or shall we pray for him? Why service is on there interceding for the pastor? Who should be the help to others? Serving him cheerfully. Serving him cheerfully. When I had only one pair of shoes, cheerfulness. One coat, cheerfulness. Sleeping on bench, cheerfulness. 3 years after, when I was sharing the testimony, members said, no, it's not that. I don't think that happened to him. Because when I appear, cheerfulness. Good morning, church. Everything is working. Let's give thanks to God. Cheerfulness, cheerfulness, cheerfulness. Without cheerfulness, you cannot escape these hard times. You know, our cheerfulness attracts God. Our frowning attracts Satan. Because he's a sadist. He's never happy about anything good happening. If you don't want to be covered by the hardship they will suffer, you better change your position. He said, in the world there will be tribulation, but you be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world for you. Check your neighbor's face. Is he smiling out there? Tell somebody around you, be cheerful, be cheerful. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 and 48. He said, because they serve not the Lord their God with joyfulness of heart and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall they serve in hard times. They will serve their enemies. Because they are not excited about what I have given to them. You are in one room today. Keep serving God. It will soon become a two room. It will soon become a duplex. I'm telling you of what has happened to us, beginning with our father here. Perhaps you are lower than where you are right now that you are complaining about. Serve him cheerfully. Don't serve him as if he is punishing you. If it appears to be punishing, he is only polishing you. Very shortly, your word will see you shining. What more? Serve him continually. Did you hear what the king said about Daniel? Is thy God whom you serve continually. I like that. Continually, not occasionally. Is that God whom you serve able to deliver you? And Daniel said, well, he's always on duty. As long as I'm on duty, let us therefore not be weary in well-doing, for we shall receive our dues when we are due for the season. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, brethren, be ye steadfast. Be unmovable. Don't count how long you have been doing it. Some of us have been serving God for the last 20 years. Nothing to show. He has only shown. You have not seen what he is doing because you have closed your eyes. Unmovable. Always abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as he know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So may I know. Say again, I know that my labor in him is not in vain. Say it one more time. I know that my labor is not in vain. Very shortly, it will show. I say, very shortly, it will show. Very shortly, it will show. What more? Serve him righteously. Serve him righteously. Don't add something else to your serving God. Don't touch what you should not touch. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11. Come ye from among them. Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean because of the vessels of the Lord you are bearing. Only sanctified services are acceptable to
key your destiny for exemption in hard times. May we all receive grace to serve him righteously. Amen. May we all receive grace to serve him righteously. Amen. Last night, in laying the foundation for this prophetic event, God's servant spoke extensively on that. And I believe all of us are already thoroughly engraced to live a sanctified life. In the precious name of Jesus. Well, quickly, within the little time we have remaining, there are several platforms for rendering our stewardship before the Lord, which includes the altar of prayer and fasting. For the kingdom of God and its advancement, praying for souls to be saved and to be established, praying for the salvation of our neighbors, praying for our pastors and other ministers of the gospel. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras gave himself to prayer. Luke chapter 2, verse 37, Hannas gave herself to prayer and fasting. Number two platform for rendering stewardship, soul winning and establishment. You can't be saving souls and become a victim of destruction. As you rescue people from destruction, God rescues you from destruction. And that's why Jesus commanded us in all the four gospels, go and win them. Go to the highway and edges. Compel them to come. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Mark 16, 15 to 20. Luke 14, 21 to 23. John 4, 35 to 36. Go. That is the commandment to all believers. Don't say, I don't know how to preach. Just go. The first time I went to preach, I went with a neighbor. I mean, with another co-believer. I waited for him to preach. I was cramming everything he was saying. I thought I succeeded in doing that. I told him, I'll be the one to preach the next place we reach. We got there. Within 1 minute, all my message was over. But I thank God, no regret. I started all the same. Go and tell people what God has done for you. You cannot be rescuing people and become a victim of destruction. In this hard time, you shall not be destroyed with them. I say you shall not be destroyed with them. And of course, we have the platform for diverse ways of giving, beginning with our tithing and care for the needy. You cannot take care of those in need and end as a needy. It's not possible. I know that as you engage all of these forces put together, God is going to establish you. In these hard times, they will be falling, you'll be rising. I said, when they fall, you'll be the one raising them up. God does not forget your labor of love. He will surely reward you when others are languishing. In the precious name of Jesus. Please rise to your feet. And everybody, let us receive grace to serve him more. And to serve him more acceptably. Raise your voice and pray that prayer right now. I receive grace to serve you. And serve you with all of my heart. Serve you as demanded from scriptures. Thank you and thank you and thank you and thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we are praying. Shall we receive the choir as they lead us singing, glorifying God?
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.